come on to the DJs while we're here.
Yeah, more to life. And he. The one year.
And. Better. Last year we discovered.
Hey, well, enough of that. I think it's time to get started, shall we? Welcome, folks. This is The Weeknd Is Dead here on the Pop Culture Network. This is streaming to you live through YouTube. So if you want to leave questions or comments, you can tweet me. Tweet me at @PCN_dirt. Got a little screen here. It's called the phone. I got a little stand here. So if you tweet me, it'll show up. Also, if you go to youtube.com/dirtmound, you can find the page that this is actually streaming on live. The Weeknd Is Dead is a podcast about stuff. There you go. That's about as good as an explanation as you're going to get. Oh, thank you for that beautiful chime. My name's Dirt. I am the senior editor at popculturenetwork.com. And this podcast is, I don't know, just a catch-all for a bunch of stuff to talk about. Different random weird things here and there. But because we have Twitter open, because we've got the chat room open, there's something you want to discuss, go ahead and bring it up. Also, if you want to ask questions about anything, and ask about anything. If you scroll through, I've actually scheduled a couple of these in advance. You can see some of the things we're going to talk about, technology stuff, WWE stuff, toy stuff, comic book stuff. So we've got stuff because this is the podcast about stuff. Because I got nothing better, really, to say about it. But we're here. I'm wearing my Lucky Rooster whiskey hat. I've got my coffee because it's Monday morning. You can't survive without coffee. I've tried. It doesn't work. And Eltinza Fabrienzo. I can't pronounce your name. I'm sorry. He's here in the chat room. Eltinda Fabrizio. Maybe? Is that close? What's going on, buddy? Thanks for being here today. Okay, so we all know WrestleMania is coming, right? And it's one of the big things for wrestling fans this year. And so it is going to be broadcast on the WWE Network. And the WWE Network is one of those things that they said they were going to have 1 million subscribers right away, and it didn't really happen. It was going to be the vault for all the old footage. Uh-oh, wait a minute. We got a question already. Dude, I just got started. Okay. we'll come back to the network. Because one of the things I want to do is have these open discussions. And what's being asked in the chat room is, what's my opinion about Funkos? I'm guessing, of course, you mean the Funko Pops. I mean, Funko is a big company. Funko makes a lot of different toys, but I'm guessing you're talking about the Funko Pop vinyl figures. To be honest, when they first launched, there were a whole wide array of different figures out there. Of course, I can't think of them offhand. Dorbs, they had big Dorbs, right? They had the Pop vinyls. They had designer vinyl. That's what it was called. Designer vinyl. And basically they would come up with one weird shape, one kind of a cube or a circle or a triangle, sometimes on a body like the Pops are. And they would come up with this weird design and then try to redeco that design to fit anything. And so you just had all sorts of companies were doing this. You can go back, you can find Mighty Mugs. That was another one. That they did these big designer vinyl figures of. And when I first saw them, there were so many different ones. It's like, this is kind of cool that you've got these different things. But all the others have pretty much died away. I mean, you can still find Mighty Mugs, randomly here and there. Dorbs are making, small ones. You can get like a little Skeletor and He-Man, whatever. But almost everything has gone away because pop vinyls has taken over. And I don't necessarily have a problem specifically with pop vinyls. It's just one of those things that it was kind of fun at first, but they just kept going. To me, it was a lot more interesting to see, like, say, a Green Lantern. And you can see the Green Lantern as a pop vinyl and a Mighty Mug and a Dorbs and a, you know, whatever. And just how they were the same but different, you know, across all of them. And now that they're all the same basic shape and the same design, I just look at them and I'm just like, oh, yeah, it's that same thing again. Like, it's really hard. And especially, they do the same characters over and over. They've done like 6 different Deadpools or something at this point. There's several different Wolverines. And I understand characters change their looks over time and people want to collect the specific one that they like, that they're looking for. If someone's a fan of Old Man Logan, they want the Old Man Logan, not necessarily a Wolverine. Someone's a fan of Wolverine from his early days when he was fighting Hulk as a member of the Canadian Secret Task Force, whatever. Then they want that, you know, bright blue, bright yellow version. Some want the brown version from the 80s. And I understand that, but so many times I just look at him and it's just the same thing over and over. And I've got a Jason Voorhees somewhere. I thought I have a pop vinyl of him. I don't know what I did with him. He's on a shelf somewhere. I'm actually scanning the room with my eyes right now. I'm trying to see if I can spot him. I don't know what happened to him. I've got that one. I've had some from time to time. Recently, I was digging through an old box full of stuff, and I found the Skeletor and the Disco Skeletor San Diego variant. And I was like, these are cool. I mean, I like Disco Skeletor. That's kind of my thing. But I looked online, and that was selling for $200+. Skeletor was selling for like $75. So I was like, as much as I like having Disco Skeletor and Skeletor collectibles, and I like having these pop vinyls in my collection, I'd much rather have $300+. So I put them online, I sold them, and I took a trip to Memphis. So those of you follow me on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you saw the photos from Memphis. That almost that entire trip, I would say probably 90% of that entire trip was paid for by pop vinyls, selling them on eBay and just, you know, getting rid of them. I put a buy it now at $300, opening bid at $225. They sold for $330. They sold for more on auction than if someone had just done the buy it now right away, you know, and that's what happens a lot of times. And I only did it as a 3-day or a 5-day because I want to make sure I got paid before I went on the trip. So there's definitely a lot of collectors out there. A lot of people like them. And if you like them, that's great. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from that. I know there are people that only collect the Star Wars ones. There are people that only collect the, like Once Upon a Time, I think that's what it's called, that TV show, the Cinderella thing on ABC, Sleeping Beauty, whatever, Fable Tales, whatever. And if you, I mean, if that's what you collect, that's great. If you collect all of them, then, you know, more power to you. You've got $1 million sitting in your TV room. That's fantastic. But I don't know. Like I said, it was fun at first, but they just all start to blend together after a while. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I have a Jason Voorhees one. If they do a Tron one, you know, I'm going to buy it. You know, they do Tron and Sark and Sam Flynn and Korra, you know, then yeah, of course I'd buy every single one of those just because. And I don't know, would I open the box? Cause the box always has like the logo and stuff on them. I don't know that I'd want to open the box. I wouldn't want to destroy the box. Cause I mean, you can't really play with them. You know, there's not really anything you can do with them necessarily. But generally speaking, they're all right. Just not my thing. I mean, I understand that people like them, and I can understand to a degree why people like them. I know people like the idea of the hunt and the chase and the thrill of going after them. It's kind of that Beanie Baby fad again, where it's, you know, you can buy one for $12 at the swap meet and then sell it 2 months later for $60. And that's, you know, cool. A lot of people like just that commerce aspect of it. But yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about them. You know, a lot of those designs, like the pop vinyl, started as bobbleheads. So when I look at them, that's kind of what I see is they look like bobbleheads. And I've never been much of a bobblehead fan in general. But, you know, I mean, to each his own, you know. There's stuff I like no one else likes, like Disco Skeletor, for instance. It's something that a lot of people hate. So everybody's got their own thing. You know, more power to you if you like it. Nothing, you know, I don't want to take away from that, but it's just not my thing. There's other, and I guess the more important thing is there's other things I'd like to spend money on. Something you could spend money on would be like the WWE Network, getting back to our first topic. All right. So the WWE Network was one of those things that came along and they were going to put their whole vault on it. They were putting the pay-per-views on it. It was just going to be this great, like, one-stop shop place for watching all your wrestling. And I thought that would just, you know, be fantastic. You can still Raw and SmackDown, you still have to watch on TV. You get them like a month later on the network, whatever. But the network just hasn't panned out the way that I hoped it would. Some of the fears that I had about the network have come true. Some of the stuff that I really wanted the network for, the network just has not delivered, I don't think. And so there are some main reasons that why after WrestleMania this year, I'm probably going to come home, watch WrestleMania a second time if it's okay. I usually watch WrestleManias twice in a row, usually either twice in one night or the night it's on and then watch it again the next day. It's just a thing. I used to do a wrestling podcast. It's just one of those things. But then I'm probably going to cancel the network. I'm probably going to drop it after WrestleMania. It's only $9.95 a month. I know. Not that big of a deal. But it's gotten to the point where I don't even watch it most of the time. There's so much wrestling product, first of all. You get 5 hours of wrestling just on cable television through WWE. Now, if you want to watch Lucha Underground, you want to watch Ring of Honor, you want to watch TNA, I mean, now you're talking, what is that, another 4 hours? 9 hours of product on television every week? And that's a lot. That is a lot to watch. And I just don't watch that much TV in general, much less sitting there watching wrestling all the time. And so the other shows that are specific to there, like 205 Live, NXT, they're okay. They're interesting. I think a lot of times NXT has been better than Raw and SmackDown. I think SmackDown's actually been pretty good ever since it went live. But of course, I'm a much bigger fan of AJ Styles than like Roman Reigns and Enzo and Cash and whoever. So there's just so much stuff to watch. I don't feel like I need the network because I don't need those other shows. I don't need to watch 205 Live. I don't need to watch NXT. I just don't feel the desire drawing me in all the time. I'd much rather that Raw, because it's 3 hours, would spend, like, say, the first hour with cruiserweights and NXT guys and then have a regular two-hour Raw afterwards. That, to me, would be a much better show, is if they actually pretended like it was two different shows filling up the same time slot. But that aside, the other thing, one of the other things, I guess there's three main things. And one is just that there's too much product. I don't feel like I need those exclusive shows. Two is that the archive that they promised of all this old footage still hasn't really materialized. I mean, you can get all the old Raws, I guess. You can get all the old SmackDowns. You can get all the Nitros or not. Well, some of them. I don't know if you can get all of them. But that's not really the stuff I was looking for. And I say that, like, Thunder is something that I always found interesting because I came along as a fan of the modern era after Thunder had debuted. And I know Thunder always, like, fit this different weird little secondhand slot of the wrestling universe. So Thunder, I'd be interested to go in and kind of watch a little bit just to see its, you know, rise and decline. But Raw, SmackDown, Nitro, those are not the shows I wanted out of the network. The stuff that I wanted from the vault would have been the stuff like the World Class Championship Wrestling, the Georgia Wrestling Federation, the anything old Jim Crockett Promotions, the Saturday Night, WCW Saturday Night, I guess is just what it was called. You know, like that's the type of stuff I want to see old episodes of Heat. Here, you know, just brief. I was a wrestling fan in the early to mid 80s. As a kid growing up, I watched the syndicated shows. I would go rent the videotapes to watch, you know, WrestleMania and Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, all that kind of stuff. But then wrestling hit a point where it became a cable property. It was USA versus TNT, TBS. And that's just how it was for so long. And I grew up in a house that didn't have cable. We had a three-story TV antenna on the house, and we could pull in TV channels for, you know, 100 miles almost. And so I could watch, you know, 20 different channels of different broadcast networks, independent stations, KPLR down in St. Louis. I could pull up YZZ33, just different random channels from around Central Illinois, Missouri, whatever. But I didn't have cable. So once the wrestling shows became a cable entity, I couldn't watch them anymore. And it was just a matter of that it just wasn't available to me. So I stopped watching wrestling for a while. And I would, you know, every so often I'd get a tape of something, a big pay-per-view I'd try to keep up on. Someone would record something that they wanted to watch. And so, sure, you know, let's watch it. Because, you know, I still enjoyed it. And when I could watch it, I liked it. But for a long time, I didn't watch it. So the whole Monday Night War, I really came in at the tail end of it. It wasn't until I left college, moved out on my own, and that's when I got cable. That's, you know, I was like, hey, I didn't have cable growing up. I'm getting cable now. And I'm getting like every channel and the digital cable radio and, you know, everything, big package. And so then I can finally, yeah, big package. That's me. That's my new nickname. Great band name, by the way, I call it. So then I was finally able to sit down and watch all of those shows. And that was really the decline. I mean, we're talking like 99. It was right after the big, you know, WWE boom, and WCW was on that decline. So, you know, I've watched almost everything since then, and I've gone back and watched a lot of that stuff because, of course, as a fan, you want to go back and rewatch all that stuff and trade tapes with people. I used to, you know, trade tapes on eBay, buy tapes on eBay, you know, that kind of stuff. So when I look at the network, though, I wanted that old stuff, the stuff I'd never experienced before, the old stuff, the 80s, the 70s, 60s, 50s. I love 50s wrestling. That's another thing. Pat O'Connor, Google Pat O'Connor. Look up some of his matches on YouTube. He is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. He's one of those guys. Anyway, so that's what I was hoping for on the WWE Network because they own all of this footage, and that's what I wanted to see was all of this footage. Because the current product is so stale and it just doesn't do much for me. And it's so oversaturated and so bland and repetitive. And so watching that old footage was one of the big things I really wanted. But the problem is I want to watch it as it was watched. Like I want to experience it the way people experienced it watching on TV. And I don't know if that's the dime store historian in me wanting to live a fantasy. I don't know what the deal is. I'm going to need to take a drink of coffee here. I'm going to be burping all over the place. But that's the way I wanted to watch it. And if you go back and you look, and it may have updated a little bit, but I remember going back and wanting to watch world-class championship wrestling. So I would go and I rewound all the way back to the first year, clicked through, found the first year, first episode. And it was like you had an episode from September, an episode from December, an episode from April of the next year. You'd have two in June. You'd have three in September, four in November, one in October, two in December. You know, it really jumped and skipped a lot. And I'm sure for them, there was something they wanted to follow, some particular character. They wanted to get certain appearances because they were working on other video packages. You know, they wanted to do a Scott Hall thing because they thought he was going to die. So they started pulling out all these Scott Hall episodes so they'd have that footage ready, you know, when they thought he wasn't going to make it through rehab and whatever. And that's great. But I wanted to watch the shows in sequence. And that's something that they just don't offer. And that's really sad. Now, I understand I was talking to a wrestling journalist I'll say, and I don't want to say who it was because he was talking about a conversation he had with people within the company, and I don't know if that'll give away. I don't want to, you know, whatever. But someone who was working on the WWE footage had told him that it's not just a matter of going in and saying, okay, we have this old tape, let's digitize it and throw it on the network. They want to clean it up a little bit if they can. They want to, you know, tracking issues and things like that with the old tapes, which I understand fine. The other big thing was music. A lot of times those old indie feds, when they were, you know, first being shown on TV in like the 80s, and they just would throw music up. The same way you're like in an arena for a basketball game and you hear music piping through the system. I don't, they might license it nowadays because, you know, NBA is all over the place. MLB, if they're going to play those, it's on TV. So they might have to, you know, pay some sort of license like a radio station. I'm not sure. But, you know, back in those days, they would just play a song in the arena and it was shown on TV and nobody cared. Now WWE, they're afraid of lawsuits and everything, so they have to go back and listen to all the music. Is this music copyright? Try to identify it. If it is, then they've got to scrub it out. They've got to put it through filters, get rid of that music. Then they have to go find a different piece of music and try to put that music in over it. Sometimes they'll even actually cut out the audio from that section completely, take a piece of commentary from a different part, like an intro to the show or whatever, take that audio and overlay it on top of the music. So there's just a lot of other stuff. They index every wrestler that's on the show so they can put it in the search functions. They used to actually cut each match out and keep it as a separate file so that, you know, when you did a search for a particular character, you could just pull up their individual matches. I don't think they do that anymore because they realized it was a lot of time and effort and not really worth it. But a lot of that type of stuff they look for, and a lot of those had like commercials that were part of the program, sponsorship and that kind of stuff, and they want to make sure that you know, phone numbers get blurred out or addresses or, you know, whatever. And so there's a lot of that type of work that goes into them. And my perspective was, fine, just start at the beginning. You know, I don't care. Just, I understand that you've got your issues you want to worry about. If a phone number is blurred, I don't care. If you need to filter out the background noise, just throw a filter on there and throw it up there. I don't care. I want to watch those old shows. And they just skip around too much. So that really doesn't work for me. So that's number two. So first reason one, it's just oversaturated. There's too much stuff. I don't feel like I need to watch the network because there's so much stuff. And two is the way the vault, the archive, hasn't really played out the way that they had originally intended or at least advertised that it was going to be. But then three is the pay-per-views. And this was the big selling point. This was the whole reason to have it was you would pay $9.95 a month. You get every monthly pay-per-view. And that was great. You know, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, I don't really care about that much, but it's still there. But you would get those. You would get every other, you know, monthly show, whatever. And the shows now, the pay-per-views don't feel special. Royal Rumble, you get the Royal Rumble match. I like seeing that. I like seeing the setup to WrestleMania. WrestleMania, of course, is the big show you want to watch just, you know, because. And a lot of times you watch it with other people. You know, like, for instance, I'm going to someone else's house and, you know, there's going to be lots of snacks and people sitting around talking and drinking and having a good time while they're watching it. And that's, you know, always a big draw of that. But just the monthly shows just don't feel special. For one thing, they use that same set for everything. That used to be a big draw for me, actually, the entryways. I loved watching what they would develop on pay-per-views. And that was one problem I always had with WCW, especially in the later years. Now, I know some of those sets they used to have were just bizarre. Bash at the Beach, where they'd have like two big TV screens, they'd throw a bunch of sand and, you know, buckets and sand castles down, and you're just like, oh, what is this? You know, some of those were kind of lame. To be fair. But WWE always had these great entryways, the way they'd work the screens and put up scaffolding and, you know, have these big design pieces, these specially made fiberglass, you know, whatever. And that was always a big draw because it felt special. It felt different the arena was different, and that was a set you were only going to see once and then never again. And then, of course, you know, some of them, King of the Ring, Cyber Sunday, whatever, they would reuse some of them, which, you know, I understand, whatever. But they don't do that anymore. The sets on pay-per-views are just the same sets from Raw and SmackDown, generally. Sometimes they'll change them up for a show and then start using them on Raw and SmackDown. But nothing feels different. Everything feels the same. SmackDown doesn't feel different from Raw other than the fact that there's different talent. The pay-per-views don't feel... It's just another show on top of the 5 to 9 hours of wrestling that you're watching. Now you've got another 2 to 3 hours to watch here on a Sunday night. And the matches aren't anything that we're not seeing already on Raw. Sometimes, I mean, you know, like Goldberg, okay, Brock Lesnar. Those guys aren't going to wrestle on the regular shows because of their contractual obligations. That's fine. But I've seen John Cena wrestle everybody in the company. You know what I mean? So a pay-per-view match doesn't feel like a big deal anymore. They don't do hardcore matches or the Falls Count Anywhere or the table matches or... You know, I mean, they'll do them for the TLC pay-per-view, but that's a whole pay-per-view based on that concept. That used to be the main event of a pay-per-view was one of those types of matches as a draw to watching the pay-per-view. Now the pay-per-views, they're just the monthly network specials. So they're not very special. And if I want to watch Royal Rumble, I can just pay $9.95, sign up for a month, watch it for the month, and then canceled again. If I want to watch WrestleMania next year and I want to watch it in my house instead of someone else's, I can pay the $9.95 a month and then at the end of the month cancel it again. I don't need an ongoing membership to watch these shows because the shows aren't that great. So that's very long way of saying it, but the network just doesn't work for me. It just doesn't seem like it's worth the money anymore. So therefore I'm dropping the network. And like I said, I'll wait for WrestleMania. And then when it's over, I'll drop it. There are a lot of things they could do to make it better, but they're just not. So I've pretty much given up at this point on that coming to work out. All right, Marvel's Secret Empire. Let's switch over to comic books for a little bit. And comic book time, throwing it up in the chat there. And Marvel's Secret Empire, what I put in the little description, the Secret Empire dud. This is one of the least excited crossovers I've seen from Marvel in a long time. Maybe since like Original Sin. It was the last time there was a crossover that people didn't seem to care as much about. And part of the problem is that it's all based off the Captain America books right now, and the Captain America books are not selling well. You've got the two. You've got Sam Wilson and Steve Rogers. They have both books have worked really hard to alienate a lot of readers, which is... Marvel apparently is going to change their tack on some of those in the upcoming months. So we'll see what happens there. But as far as Secret Empire being this big Hydra conspiracy, it doesn't feel fresh. It doesn't really feel new. It doesn't feel exciting. It doesn't feel like it's on the same level as things like Secret Wars. It feels more like a Monsters Unleashed. It's supposed to be, covering a lot of different books. They're going to be drawn into it. They're going to be introducing some new characters. You're getting the all-new Patriot. You're getting a bunch of other random things that are supposedly growing out of this. But for the most part, I work at a comic book store. So I'm not just saying that, I don't care about Captain America as much. I can tell you that we don't sell Captain America in the numbers like the way we used to. Back, if you look, let's see, what was Civil War, the original Civil War, when Captain America was killed, and Bucky took over. And that was huge. That was a big deal. You had dozens of subscribers that would want that book to follow that Bucky storyline as the new Captain America. It was a big deal. But since that time, Sam Wilson just hasn't caught on. We have one subscriber for Sam Wilson. And he's a guy that gets a lot of Marvel books. He pretty much gets the spread of Marvel books. Generally speaking, if there's a new Marvel book, we just go ahead and throw it in his box, because 9 times out of 10, he's going to buy it. He may pass on Great Lakes Avengers, but he'll buy Kingpin and Elektra, you know? So he's the one guy who's currently buying Sam Wilson. The Steve Rogers Captain America, we have 4 subscribers. 4. Now, we've got almost 24 buying Justice League every month, buying Batman every month, buying Amazing Spider-Man still does relatively well. Captain America, Steve Rogers, 4. So the books, you know, I'm sure maybe in Midtown Comics, downtown Manhattan, they sell a lot more issues. And you got to keep in mind, there are 3 comic book stores here in this town where I live. So our store, there's Comic Service, and then there's Reader's World. All sell comics, all do subscription pull lists, that type of thing. But I can tell you, I talk to the other owners almost every week. I'm one of those guys, I still go to the other stores and I'll grab stuff. You know, we sell out of something and I kind of wanted to read it, have a copy. I'll go to one of the other stores. I'll buy a copy. I don't care. I'll check out their sales. I'll buy back issues off of them, stuff that we don't have, you know. So it's not a very contentious, you know, battle between these different stores and whatever. And one store focuses on sports cards. One is pretty much all pop vinyls and comics. And then we're toys, comics, video games, movies, you know. So we each have a different sliver. But Captain America just doesn't sell. For most of the people who are out there watching, it's just not a big seller. And so this crossover just doesn't have a lot of heat to it. I don't know a lot of people that really care about this storyline because they just don't care about Captain America right now. It's not a book. One of the things that I've heard a complaint from a lot of people who have dropped the Captain America books, is the fact that Captain America, they always saw him as basically Marvel's Superman, in the sense that he's the Truth, Justice, and American Way character. He's that all-American character. He's that patriot character. He's that Boy Scout character. And the thing that made him a little different with Captain America was, of course, he couldn't just say, this is what I'm going to do, and everybody had to go along with it, because Superman can just, you know, move mountains, whatever. Captain America had to fight for it a little more, and that's, people liked him because he was more human, so to speak, not being an alien. But he had to, you know, fight the system and work within the rules and whatever. And that's missing. The current runs, Nick Spencer doesn't seem to understand a lot of the idea of, you know, at its core, Truth, Justice, and the American Way works, and it's real and it's alive. You just have to fight these pockets of resistance against that from time to time. And instead, it's taken on a very much more, I want to be careful, you know, how I say something like this. It's a lot, I don't want to say darker. Darker is the wrong term, but it's a much more skewed view. That's still not the word that I want to say, but it doesn't believe in the idea of, say, the American dream or something like that. And so it just comes across as bitter. It comes across as sad, sometimes mean. And I just don't see a lot of people, especially who come to our store, and the people I see in the other stores, they're not excited for it. They don't care about it. You know, this big Hydra's in all parts of the government. That's the way it's always supposed to be. Hydra, as the organization as it is always supposed to have tentacles in something. That's like a trope. That's a storyline you can always do. Someone goes somewhere and there's a bunch of Hydra agents and they got to root them out. Happens all the time in the Marvel Universe. Not that big of a deal. This, supposedly they're making their big move. I don't know. I personally don't feel it because I don't like the Captain America books. I don't see it because we don't sell a lot of Captain America books. A lot of people don't like the Captain America books, and nobody, not one single person has come up and asked for Secret Empire. That's another thing. Even with Monsters Unleashed, we had a couple guys who came up and said, I want to put that on my pull list. Can you, you know, save it for? Sure, no problem. But nobody has asked for it yet. Now, maybe when the Zero issue comes out, people see it, it might make, you know, people interested. There might be people that go, oh, right, I meant to ask about that. Can you save that for us? So we're buying copies that we're going to put on the shelf that we hope are going to sell. You know, it's not like we're only, you know, getting two copies, or I guess it'd be five copies for the guys who get the Secret Empire. Actually, four, because it's one guy doubled on both. It's not like we're just buying it for the subscribers and of Captain America books and we're not getting it for someone else. We're buying extra copies for the shelf in the hopes that it will pick up and sell. But I mean, right now, looking at it, the Flash Batman crossover that's coming in the DC books, we have a lot more interest in. People are asking about that. In fact, it looks like at this point we're going to have some problems with the lenticular covers, the ones that you know, animate a little bit when you move them. It looks like we're going to have those allocated probably, and so that's going to be an issue with some of the people. We're going to have people walking off the streets, it looks like, asking for copies. And we're just not going to be able to get it to everyone, and that's going to suck. That's really going to suck. But with Secret Empire, I'm just not seeing that. So maybe there are parts of the United States where this is like a much bigger deal outside of Marvel offices. I don't know, but it's just not the thing that's happening here. All right, now finally, I mentioned in the description, I was going to talk about soccer just enough to make you uneasy. And what I wanted to actually talk about, well, first, let me just put this in some perspective, some context. I turned 40 last year. Thank you. I finally had my midlife crisis. It actually happened this spring. But in my midlife crisis, I didn't go out and buy a sports car. I didn't get a new girlfriend. It wasn't anything like that. My midlife crisis was that I discovered soccer. And I played soccer as a kid. You know, never watched it on TV, never got excited for it. It was never any big deal. But one day this past spring, I was flipping through channels and I was watching something and like a commercial popped up and it was like Whoopi Goldberg or somebody. And I was like, ah, crap, yeah, and switched the channel real quick. And I ended up on Premier League Soccer on NBC Sports. And so I just kind of sat there for a minute. I just, you know, left it on. I wasn't really paying that much attention. But then after a minute, I was like, oh, I like this. Like I get it. Like, this makes sense, and this is exciting. I see the guys playing out there. I enjoy this. So that's as much as we're actually going to talk about soccer per se. But what I actually want to use that as the launch pad for is to talk about the streaming TV services. I, as you can see by the image up here on the screen, I've thrown up some of the streaming providers. These are all services that I am currently using, and I'm comparing and contrasting. Now, Comcast Xfinity, that is my home cable service. I get a couple channels through there that I can watch and some things on demand. They provide my internet, my TV, so that's a big part of my household. And what they offer is okay, but I wanted more. I wanted to see more than what they provide. And I discovered that even though I have a Comcast Xfinity account and I'm allowed to download things like Fox Sports Go and NBC Sports app, so I can stream the shows and watch them on the go, there are some things that I would leave my house, go to work, set up my tablet, or open up the browser window on my computer and try to watch, and it wouldn't let me stream through the Comcast Xfinity app or through the related apps using my Comcast Xfinity account, because I wasn't at home. I wasn't on my home IP address. And because I wasn't at home, I couldn't stream certain things like the sports. And I'm guessing that's because places like bars, restaurants, the guys would have the account at home. They would just come to work and throw up the thing and stream those deals. And it's a different deal if you're streaming something in a public place like a restaurant as opposed to being at home. Maybe it's because at work I was on, you know, the Comcast business class services. That's what we have, bringing internet to the store. I don't know. But for whatever reason, I was blocked out from watching some of the stuff. So I went online and I looked at some different things. Now, right now, I have Sling. I have Sling Orange, I guess is what it is. I bought an Android TV. One of the offers that was in the Android TV box was for, let's see, if you bought 3 months of Sling TV, you got a $50 credit. And they have a $20 tier service with Orange. So I was able to buy 3 months for 10 bucks, basically. It was $20 a month for 3 months at 60 minus the 50 from the credit. Cost me $9.97, I think it was, to get it for 3 months. And Sling is okay. Sling as a streaming provider, it has some interesting bonuses, but it also has some pitfalls. One is that's good about it is that you get a nice spread of channels. You get stuff like Cartoon Network, and you're getting stuff like A&E. You're getting your ESPN 1-2-3. So there's a mix of sports and news and kid stuff and regular TV. So it does work like a regular TV package. And that's a nice spread for what they offer. And it also has what they call a cloud DVR. I think that's what they call it. I know it's what they call it on Fubo. I'm not sure if that's what they call it on Sling. But on Sling, if you want to watch a show that has previously aired, a lot of times they're available as an on-demand feature. Now, you can't fast forward some of them. You have to sit through the commercials and everything like that. But nonetheless, they are there and they're available, and you can pull those up and watch. And that's neat. That is a neat feature. The problem is not everything is available through that type of cloud feature. And a lot of times it doesn't work. In fact, there was something I was trying to watch this morning. And so I went and I found it, you know, listed down in one of the bottom rows as an on-demand thing. Watch now. I hit watch and it just came up with that loading circle. Eventually that loading circle went away, but the screen never changed. The progress bar at the bottom never moved. Nothing happened. It broke for whatever reason. And I tried on two different machines, on my Fire TV and on the Roku. As nice as it is to have that basic set of channels you might want if you're a cord cutter and to have some of those on-demand features, it's not bulletproof. It doesn't work all the time. And if you want something specific, you're limited. You have to buy an add-on package if you want more sports or if you want more movies or if you want more kids shows. It's not a very good targeted type of TV viewing experience. It is very much like a light cable channel package. In fact, it's very reminiscent of back in the day. If you could get a basic cable package for 25 bucks, and it just had your networks and it had like Nickelodeon and ESPN and CNN and, you know, that type of stuff, but there wasn't a whole lot to it. And that is very much what this feels like, is one of those basic type cable packages. So I'm not going to save it after the 3 months. When the 3 months are up, I mean, that's great, but I'm done. There's nothing special that it adds compared to some other services. Now, I put the Roku on here, and you guys know Roku is not a streaming service. It is, you know, a device that allows you to add on these subscription channels. The problem with Roku that I've found is that a lot of services that use certain interactive features that will work on, say, a Fire TV, an Apple TV, Android TV, don't work through the Roku. The Roku interface is very slow. It's clunky. I had a Roku box. It was a Roku XD. I don't know when that came out. 2012, maybe 2013, several years ago. And now I've got a new Roku I just bought not that long ago, and the interface on it feels almost the same. I mean, all these years later, and it still feels like that same slow, clunky type of stuff. And when I go back and think about how it operates compared to using a Fire TV, an Android TV, an Apple TV, there's just no comparison. Roku just does not hold up as a streaming provider the way those other systems do. It feels much more like a handicapped way to access your content, but it allows you to plug it to your TV, so it's like they're doing you a favor. Like, oh, look, you can stream the stuff that you'd normally have to use a tablet for, but we can do it on your TV, so you're welcome. But with Fire TV and Apple and Android TV, it doesn't hold up the same. It is a problem. Now, Fubo TV that I have listed right up here. Some of you are not familiar with Fubo TV and you're like, well, what is that? This is a soccer sports targeted streaming IPTV platform, package, service. Whatever. Now, something like, I don't want to talk specifically about that because I know a lot of you guys don't care about soccer, but I wanted to bring this up for the simple fact that this, because it is a targeted system, it's a targeted network. I can watch the Spanish La Liga. I can watch the Italian Serie A. I can watch the French Ligue 1. I can watch Premier League. I can watch the Bundesliga. I can watch Liga NOS. From Portugal. I can pull up all these different things and stream them through this service, and I can do it through the Fire TV, through the tablet, through my phone, through my computer, through my Android TV. I can use the web browser on the Xbox One, and it works perfectly streaming this stuff online. And all of it works. Now, the cloud DVR feature sometimes has problems, and I'll email and be like, hey, this isn't working. And they're like, yeah, we know. We're sorry. We're working on it. They just expanded, so they added like NBC Sports and Fox Sports and some of that stuff. But not so much that I want to talk about watching sports or watching soccer, but I bring all of that up because as a targeted system, I think that this may actually be the future of streaming television. Now, unlike Sling, which gives you this scattershot, like here's a little bit of everything, that's kind of the problem with cable in the first place, right? One of the things they say was like, well, it's Sling, it's take back your TV. You can have this service and then you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your tablet, you can take it on the go, but you're still paying for channels you don't want. Like I'm paying, you know, with my service for Sling, I'm getting Viceland. I don't want Viceland. Have you seen that? That's like terrible. It's like one of the worst channels on TV. I don't want it. I don't need it. But I have to pay for it because you have to buy that package. Now, Fubo, as a targeted package, it still has other stuff on it because of Fox. Part of the package deal with getting Fox is that you also get FX and FXX and FX movies. And so Fox News and, you know, like whatever. So you get some kids channels, you get some regular TV channels, you get some A&E, you get some FYI network, whatever. And so all of that stuff is in there in the package, but I have so much that's targeted towards my interest. That's got to be the future of TV. That's the future, targeted. I mean, imagine if you could buy a subscription for a lot of you guys who are comic book sci-fi fans that would give you Chiller TV, that would give you the Thriller Network, I think that's what it's called, sci-fi. It would give you, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, CW, so you can watch Arrow and Powerless and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all that stuff. You would have all that stuff available, but you would have your horror theme networks, your sci-fi channel networks, your cartoon network that would have all that stuff packaged. And you guys wouldn't have to worry about an ESPN or a Fox Sports or an NBC Sports being part of your package that you're buying because you don't want those. So they're not there. So you can get not a la carte, because I don't think a la carte is ever going to come. That's like the dream is for the a la carte channels. And you just can't do that because a lot of channels are subsidized by other channels that come out. You know, ESPN actually doesn't make a lot of money, but it's on every network. They have to carry it or every service because ABC says, you want ABC, you want Disney Channel, you got to carry ESPN. And that's how ESPN gets everywhere. So a la carte is never going to come and slice directly those out. But these bundled package ideas, where you've got all of your similar services brought together, I think that's really the future of television. Prices are going to vary. The quality is going to vary. Your interests are going to vary. But when it comes to watching the stuff that you want to watch, I use Fubo TV almost every day. No, I have used it every day, every single day. I go to work, I log in, I have some games playing in the background while I'm sitting there at the store. I come home, I'm working on, you know, doing whatever around the house. I got a TV right here, and I'm watching Fubo on there. I got a Roku on it, which, you know, whatever. But nonetheless, I can watch what I want to watch, when I want to watch it, where I want to watch it through this service, which is so great because there's no lockouts like with my Xfinity streaming app. There's no questions about, am I going to run across something that is going to be inappropriate for the kids if I have this up and running, whereas you can find that on Sling TV. You're going to hit something, and you know, you're going to hit a movie channel or Viceland with, you know, something garbage on there. So I really don't have to worry about that type of stuff. And it's really, it's what I want to watch that's there available when I want to watch it, with, you know, news channels and a kids network and whatever thrown in at the same time. So that's going to be the future of television. And in fact, I've heard a couple analysts say that they think that Comcast is actually going to get out of the TV business, that they're actually going to go for the network, the streaming, the internet, phone over IP, TV over IP, and they may sell off that cable part of it in the next couple of years, which is interesting. At least I think so. But it's my show, so I can talk about that. So anyway, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of The Weekend is Dead. I hope you enjoyed this show. Please, you know, leave questions, comments, feedback. You can find us on YouTube. Follow the link down there. You can find the show. Leave your comments there, or you can send me the tweet at PCN_dirt. That is me, or dirt@popculturenetwork.com is my email, or you can call our 24-hour voicemail. You know what? I should have made a thing here. I'm going to make a thing real quick here. Nobody move. Here we go. We're gonna do this, and then we're gonna do this, and we're gonna go 217-953-4025. That is our voicemail line. Here, watch this. It's gonna sweep right across. Whoop. Boom, there we go. Call our 24-hour voicemail line and leave feedback. Area code 217-953-4025. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can leave a voicemail message there. So please do. And thanks for watching, guys. Thanks for listening. If you're listening to the podcast version up on Podbean, thank you for checking out the show. And I'll see you next time. Maybe if I can end this. Where's the button? Oh, here it is.